Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. And not only that, you can start thinking about Brewers Outlet gift cards for the holidays. You're stuck on a gift. Hey, get something, people are going to enjoy. Brewers Outlet gift card solves your problem and makes them happy. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right. Let's bring in the outstanding Neil Coulon. Because after watching last night's game, it is confirmed in no uncertain terms that I have no idea what this team is going to do. Welcome, sir.
It is great to be here. I like to think we're able to commemorate the date as perhaps the hours following the most active and controversial Steelers game in history. Because, wow, that was something. Fans have been weighing in on this probably since halftime through right now. I don't know if I've ever heard the outrage, legitimate or otherwise, as strong as it is now. It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it is remarkable. It really is a commentary unto itself that the fans were chanting for Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, I think that when you get into a situation where when Mason Rudolph legitimately looks like a viable option, you know that things are not going well.
Yeah.
And that was what I thought during the game. I think I even tweeted this at one point. I might even agree with him.
Yeah.
That was maybe, and I've said this about Mitch Trubisky a couple times, but that might have been the worst game I have ever seen an NFL quarterback play. It defied description. I mean, he was awful. The fact that they continue to put him out there, I think, covers up what should have been news that they were thinking about benching him. They had to have been at some point. He was that ineffective, and it just really seemed like the offense was deflated. Each and every poor decision, poor throw that he made, they should have had four interceptions at halftime.
Yeah,
and they weren't. If anything, Bill Belichick is probably getting after the Patriots' defensive backs for not hanging on to the ball. They should have. They were in place to make plays multiple times, and none of it seemed to change anything with Trubisky. His approach was the same. I don't think he stepped into a throw all night.
Yeah.
Normally, I might suggest he might have been hurt. That's not usually what you say about a player that's playing really well. Right. It was a mess. Plain and simple. It was an absolute mess. And I don't know what they do from here either. I think they are legitimately in uncharted waters, just because they have tried things. This is not a lack of effort. This is not something that can be, kind of cast off as throwaway rhetoric at the end of a game. they have problems that they're not going to fix, certainly not this season. They might not even be able to make hay next week going into their next game. It's that bad. And the opposite should be happening. If you go as far as firing your offensive coordinator, I'm not suggesting they should all of a sudden turn into the 07 Patriots, but they should show a modicum of improvement. If anything, they're worse. None of it is working, whatever it is that they're trying to do. And it looked to me, based on, you know, something I don't like, I don't like to point to body language or anything like that. And
sure.
Let's just
that's a blah, blah, blah. That's a blah, blah, thing.
They look like they were running through sand. Some of that could be a Thursday night game type of thing. But they really just did not appear as invested in what they were trying to do on offense as you'd think that they would be for an NFL game. And I don't know if I have ever said that about any side of the ball under Mike Tomlin. Something's not stirring the Kool-Aid within Pittsburgh. I mean, they've got a lot that they need to figure out, because what I saw in the last 2 weeks combined, there is no question in my mind, they have been the worst team in the NFL. And they're not going to be able to draft like they're the worst team in the NFL. So
no.
They've got a lot that they need to fix in a hurry.
Right now they're the 8. They enter the game. That what strikes me is that they entered that game as the number 5 seed in the AFC. That's what they entered as. That to me is a commentary unto itself on the state of the league. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I think the Steelers represent in many ways this baseline level that people are not quite adjusting to with the NFL. And I'm not 100% sure if it's a problem at the top or a problem at the bottom, or maybe it really just is everything is shrinking down and the median level of the league is lower than what we're used to it being, if that makes sense. You know, if the Steelers are, and this breaks us into different territory, because to me, and you've heard me say this a lot over the last 4 years, the Steelers have been a team less on talent than people and national media pundits suggest that they have. And instead of them underachieving, they've in fact overachieved. They've played above who they really are. And when they come crashing to earth, we normally suggest that, well, Mike Tomlin teams can't beat bad teams. Mike Tomlin teams have been bad teams. They've beaten better teams than them more often than they haven't. But last night, the previous week, maybe even 3 of the last 4 weeks, they have been woefully inferior in many ways through significant chunks of play against their opponent. And we're just not used to seeing that. So I think to some degree, they overachieved perhaps even more than we thought they did earlier in the season. And they're just regressing to the norm now, regressing to the mean level that they should be at, but have been able to avoid being at the last couple of years, particularly late in the season when they've come on playing much better than they did earlier. It seems like they hit their peak earlier rather than later this year, and now it's a nightmare. They've completely fallen apart.
Yeah, it's stunning, because what happens to me in a situation like this is that your defense can only do so much when they're sitting there and they, first of all, you are hamstrung defensively in the number of chances you can take, because you know your offense can't get it back if you make a mistake. You have to play defense to your offense, and right now the Steelers can't be overly aggressive defensively because their offense can't get it back.
I agree. It's a two-way street. The same thing's happening on both sides of the ball. Both sides have to play above what it seems like they're capable of playing now to protect the other, and neither of them are getting the job done. And then add in, with the exception of Miles Killebrew, who's either blocking a punt or committing 3 penalties in a game, they're getting this extreme nature of special teams contributions, which last night it was a problem with the exception of the block punt. They've had terrible punting the last 2 weeks. It's not helping anybody. They're not, you know, I know it sounds weird to say they're not playing as a team, but one hand isn't contributing to the success of the other. And we're seeing more and more gaps because of that. And then on top of it, particularly on defense, you have players getting hurt left and right. I don't know about you, but I don't know how many professional NFL caliber inside linebackers who were not injured last night played for the Steelers.
Right.
There are a couple of them that I don't know if they'll play again. It was bad. That is creating kind of a dire situation for everybody. They lost Alex Highsmith. That's going to show up in the aggregate over the last four games if he's not able to play. None of it is really helping out the overall cause. They seem like a fractured, disjointed unit now. Whereas in the past, one thing I have always praised Mike Tomlin for is he has gotten the most out of lesser talented teams. And this team is probably a little bit more talented than they've been the last couple of years, but they've put some atrocious performances on the field this year, and I'm sure they're trying to figure out why it is as well. But you can't get past the fact that there are going to have to be significant changes within this team very soon if this continues the way it is, because it's an embarrassment.
1 week it's Deontay Johnson. It's a fumble. I got messed up on the previous play, so guess what? I'm not gonna play the next play. Okay. And then this week it's Pickens. Do these guys not realize that, like, collectively they're not good enough and they need to do more work?
To be blunt, no, I don't think either of them understand that. And I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
That's a cultural thing. In my mind, I hate to use the cliche, but if you look back at any successful team year to year, it has a lot of success. They have a strong core group of veteran players. A player does that once.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, it happens. You get it. Maybe not Johnson's
right.
Fumble, but
sure.
Pickens' antics. Okay, young player. You know, I don't mind emotion. I'm not against that. I don't mind a guy wanting the ball. He wants to produce. I get it. When you're sitting on the bench and pouting like that,
right.
Knowing you're in a primetime game, that even for Thursday night, there's still going to be millions of people on social media that are going to see that. If something's not done about that as a player, as a team, you're eroding your core. Your leadership group have to step in and do something about that, because people are watching. You might be upset. That's a part of the game. That's a part of being a professional. I understand that, but you can't show everyone how upset you are just because you're upset. It's childish. It's immature. And I hate to break it to you, but you got the ball 5-6 times. You did absolutely nothing with it.
Right.
Blame everybody all you want. The reality is, you're a playmaker. Go make plays.
Yeah.
Deep a couple times. You didn't do anything with it. That's not at all to suggest he doesn't have legitimate beef over the state of the offense. I think all of them are probably a little upset. But to handle it the way that you are, to make sure everyone knows how upset you are when you've accomplished next to nothing in this league, that's problematic for the entire team, because everyone's watching it, and eventually their media are going to start asking questions about it.
Mm-hmm.
Does Minka Fitzpatrick have to answer to you? Is that why he's saying the kind of cryptic message that he did? Something needs to be done along those lines from a coaching and a front office perspective. I thought they sent a strong message last year with Chase Claypool, and Pickens is now entering the territory where it's like, you don't produce enough game in and game out to complain this much. And as far as Deontay Johnson is concerned, you're the veteran. You're the one with the paycheck. I would hope that you'd set a little bit better example than this. And that's not happening. So, to me, it's difficult to learn how to win with players that aren't playing to win on a snap-to-snap basis. That's just me. It's an old-school approach. Not every coach is going to do that, and you don't get rid of talent just because of their attitude. You need to work with them. But there comes a point, too, discipline needs to take over. You put your arm around him. You had him over to your house. You've talked to him. There comes a point that he needs to mature. And if a more negative approach is necessary, as in don't play him for a half, something to that effect, it may be time for that. You know, I don't know how much they really want to do that in the NFL, but I think there's a lesson here that needs to be learned, and I'm not entirely sure that he's really shown that he's up to doing that.
Yeah, well, exactly. So that what, the Colts are next? I mean, this is, I mean, for Mike Tomlin, where to from here, and does he have to be looking over his shoulder a little bit based on the current state of affairs?
I think he does. To break it down simply, if you continue doing what you're doing, you're going to continue to get what you're getting.
Yeah.
If we look at this 10,000-foot level, I've kind of set this as my line of demarcation. Go back to the point Berger's elbow snapped in 2019.
Yep.
Look at that team forward. Talent has been a significant issue. Depth has been a significant issue. These are all problems, and there has come a point where I feel Mike Tomlin has had to do some of the best coaching job in the NFL to get where he's gotten from them. But air is on fire constantly. It becomes the normal. And this team's normal is where it is right now. And if it can't be corrected, and it's not for a lack of trying. I don't want to hear that they haven't tried, okay? They've done a lot of things that they don't normally do lately. They have an assistant general manager that they've never had. They traded up in the draft, which they barely ever do. They took an offensive tackle in the first round, which they haven't done since I was in, like, elementary school. Yeah. They've tried a lot of different things. And they have a great draft class, I'd like to point out.
Yes.
These things, though, are cumulative. It just seems like they're stuck in first gear, and they're stuck in the mud. You fired your offensive coordinator. You sent that message. That's something that hasn't happened in 80 years. You sent that message to the team. Nothing is changing. I don't know what else there is to offer up, exception of really some type of combination of the offensive coaching staff is not going to be around next year. There's pretty much no way that's going to happen.
Right.
And if that's not acceptable to Mike Tomlin, and there are a lot of veteran coaches that would say, no, I'm not going to do that. I pick my coaching staff. This is what I want. If you're asking me to cook dinner, let me pick the meal. I understand that. It may end up leading to his resignation because there is no way they can continue doing what they're doing right now. It's they've had a lot of time. They've been given a lot of slack. They're spending more money. Matt Canada is being paid to not be there right now, yet the offense is worse than it was.
Right.
There are no other answers. At what point is Mike Tomlin accountable for it? And I don't mean this in a punitive way. I just mean at some point you have to say, look, despite our best efforts, this isn't working. We need to go in a different direction, and that direction is not going to include you. Thank you for the effort. There's honor in that. I'm not saying that he is a bad coach, because he isn't. And he'll get a job in 5 minutes if he wants one, and I think he'll be successful elsewhere. Maybe it's just too much has happened now, and both sides of this need a split. You know, I honestly feel like they're kind of at the point now that something like that needs to happen, if it's not that. Mm-hmm. And it would not surprise me at all. And a large part of it is really going to depend on these last four games. But these past two games, if that isn't a wake-up call for your players, they don't respect you, and they're not following the lead that you're giving them. And it's time to find somebody else, as well as other players, to get this thing moving somewhere else.
Neil, is this look? The Steelers have been for the last dozen years or so the Atlanta Hawks, and you know I've used that analogy before. Good enough to be in the playoffs, not good enough to advance, and then of course that means not high enough to get a draft pick. Is that about where, I know I brought up the analogy before, does it fit here?
I think it does, because you know, let's play hypothetical. If you bring in a new regime, a new coaching staff, one thing I would imagine they did what you know, I think they should do. An offensive-minded coach with a new offensive philosophy, I don't know who would take that job, even the Steelers' job, if they did not have freedom to exercise a decision on the quarterback. That's Kenny Pickett. That's Mitch Trubisky. From what we have seen of both of them this season, that it just isn't going to work. There's not really anything objective you could say that makes you think they're on the rise, they're improving, they're okay at the most important position in sports. So because of that, the Atlanta Hawks analogy, I think, works, and it has worked. And it's also one that has become more true the more that you've said it, because the first time you said it was like 4 years ago. That's yes. Exactly where they are today. It's the same thing. They're not good enough to win, and they're not bad enough to feel the need to overhaul everything. So you kind of need to make that choice maybe a little bit earlier than what the numbers are telling you, just because, you know, this is the phrase I've been using. Like, does this look good to you or what?
Yeah.
Is this
That's
good?
The best question. Yep. That's the best question right there. Yeah. Does this look good to you?
Yeah. You can't answer that any other way. And that's, to me, that's the 10,000-foot level. You can't say you're doing is working because it isn't. And you have said this each of the last three off seasons. What else can be done to change this per the direction you want to take the team? How am I not supposed to question your direction now? I really can't. So unless you're telling me something drastically different is going to happen, I'm going to need to go in a different direction. I think they're at that point. I really do. And again, I don't feel that Mike Tomlin is a bad coach. There are a lot right. of things that come into play. A lot of variables, and ultimately it's a conglomeration of all of those things together being led by the person or a couple individuals ultimately steering the ship. Maybe he could go to, I don't know, I'm just throwing a team out there, maybe he could go to Chicago and they could get that ship righted because they need his kind of leadership. They've got that group already kind of assembled. He fits better with them and they do really well. That's possible. And the reason I know that is because I saw the Kansas City Chiefs with Andy Reid beat the Philadelphia Eagles with Nick Sirianni in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
The Eagles fired Andy Reid, took the Chiefs a little bit to kind of get going. The Eagles found their footing, and they're both two very good teams, very well-coached teams by two good coaches. Andy Reid just, you know, maybe he just needed something else. Philadelphia just needed something else. I honestly just think that's the position that Pittsburgh is in right now. I don't know what else they could do that's reasonable, that would work, that'll get them over the hump that they're in. They have overachieved at a small level, and it's almost been detrimental in a way because it's delayed a decision that probably needed to be made.
You and I have been fortunate to have a lot of terrific segments over the years. This was one of the best. Appreciate it very much, Neil.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me as always.
Neil Coulong, how about that? And look, there's a point where finally for the Patriots and the Steelers, long-term success or being good has caught up to them. The league is not designed to have 20 years success like the Patriots and the Steelers did. The league is designed to have runs of 3 to 4 years, a couple of down years, and then 3 to 4 years. Well, now it's finally caught up to these two franchises, and we're graphically seeing it. Between the draft, scheduling, things like that, catches up to you.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sponsored by Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Ah, Brewers Outlet. Yes, indeed, Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. So here we are in the holiday season, holiday parties all over the place. People are wondering why the suit hasn't been at work. He's getting invited. I mean, there are holiday parties for him morning, noon, and night. everybody wants to invite the life of the party over their place. Can you blame them? Makes it easier on the rest of us. That means we don't have to invite them to ours. Just kidding. But you always want to make sure you have plenty of Brewer's Outlet. Okay? Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. And not only that, but Brewer's Outlet gift cards for the holidays. We've just started Hanukkah. We have Christmas coming up. I mean, it's the holiday season. You want to make sure you're fully stocked. You want to make sure you bring something to the party you're going to, or if you're having a get-together, make sure you're fully stocked. They will take care of you at Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. By the way, Gary Stokin, the president and CEO of the Peach Bowl, will join us on the show on Monday. Joining us now, an equally important guest, and that is the King. Welcome, King.
How are you? I'm adding numbers. I'm still winning. So
I pointed that out in the segment about an hour ago.
Catching up.
I said, it's amazing how the reboot.
the reboot of the whole thing.
The reboot has worked beautifully. For you. I think it was an extra
one you didn't have.
So. Oh, come on!
Hey, I could cheat now. No one would know.
Well, what the heck? You could get a 5-year, $55 million contract if you do. Oh, wait, that's the Michigan deal. All right.
So there we go. I got all the numbers. Last week you went 6-3, and I went 5-4. So you gained a game.
Okay.
You are 29-19. I am 31-17.
All right.
Matt would still be winning.
What, just based on percentage?
I don't know. You know, I've turned a corner here. So.
Yeah.
Actually picking the win. So.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. I mean, look, that's what's interesting here. You are you're getting the opportunity here to seize the moment.
Well, I'm doing good in the other pool, the one that we play for pay. So, I lost again, but I came in. What did I come in this week? I came in fourth place. Last week, third place. And it's just one game, missing out on one game. But there's 30 people in it, so.
Jeez.
But I really stunk at the start of the season, so whatever. But
yeah.
Anyway, so how have you been?
Oh, great. Just floating along. Got back about 2 a.m. from Maryland. Home this weekend. But I got a game tomorrow and the football banquet to MC on Sunday and go from there.
Cool. You like emceeing?
It's all right. I mean, no. You know, look, you're the voice of the team, so it's part of the job. The entire key is to make it move. There are two things about emceeing. Number one, your job is to seamlessly make it move, and at the same time realize that the banquet is about the team, and it's not about you. So part of making a move is that you're not up there telling jokes and things like that. No, just make it move because you're not the focal point. You're not the focal point of the banquet. The players are. So you keep it that way.
All right. Well, tomorrow's a big day for you because you're going to meet my wife's family. So, I mean, I'm like a face with no name, you know. My wife's got like 23 grandchildren and all these kids and crap like that, but I don't have anyone here, so I'm showing them the video of the Today Show tomorrow, so they can meet my brother.
Oh, perfect. Right.
That's him.
I should have combed my hair more.
We get the same comment from everyone. You could be twins.
Really?
No.
No. I mean, that's what I tell everybody all the time. I said, I could put a lineup of 20 people there and say, pick my brother, and not one person would pick my brother.
No, not at all. You're light, I'm dark. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I could put
20 people up there. I said, pick out my brother. Nobody would pick you.
Yeah. That's a good thing.
It's good for you. You're the good-looking one. Of course you feel that way.
Oh, you look great. So.
Oh, God.
And I'm not fat, so I work out.
No, I know. No, you're doing well.
But you look really good. You've trimmed right down.
I've been fortunate.
No. You look like a marathon runner.
Minus
the marathon.
Minus the marathon. I can't make the 385 yards, let alone the 26 miles.
You just don't eat.
The other night, so I did the game at Maryland, and they said, hey, do you want any post-game food? This is before. I said, yeah, just like a couple of chicken fingers. So that's when I'm in the car driving along I-95 eating a couple of chicken fingers. That was dinner.
Wow. Yeah,
not
you're
smart.
Good for that. I mean, I've been with you in New York. I mean, you're I'll leave it alone. No, you eat good, so that's good.
You know who's really influenced me eating better, believe
Jack
it or not?
Cam.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I've told Jack that. I said, look, I eat better because I've been around you. Because he's telling me all the time, he says, you make good choices now, really good choices. I says, yeah, good. So he got a big.
I'm in the back of the booth eating cookies. Where's he getting them all? I pull them out of my back pocket, my front pocket.
Well, there's not a lot of people sitting up there when the game's going on, so it really gave you free reign to do whatever you wanted.
Oh, I love that. That's half the trip to go to that little buffet up there and just load my pockets up, you know. The white trash. You know? I don't go to these things much. So.
Well, anyway. We've got games to pick to see if your winning streak continues. We'll come back, do that in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Oh, boy, we got an issue.
By the way, people have wondered if the suit has also influenced my food choices. And yes, for the opposite reasons that Jack did. All right, so let's get to... our picks for this week.
Well, I wrote on the page Indy, and we got Indiana type, so that's
all right.
Not good.
Don't worry about it.
We know who it is, so.
Yeah, we're all good.
So, should we start with college, or should we start with...
Whatever you want, we will do.
Well, we'll end with college, because there's only one game.
Sure. So. Tommy Nagy.
Yeah, I don't know about that. That's going to be, they're both like average, pretty good. So, okay, NFL, Indianapolis at Cincinnati.
Well, I give Cincinnati a lot of credit, they play well, but I'm going to go with the Colts.
Okay. I'm taking Cincinnati. That backup quarterback was great last week.
Yeah,
Joe
was.
Burrow actually looked worried. Like, wow, he might be better than me. He's good. What was his name again?
Jake Browning. He played against Penn
Browning.
State.
Yeah, Washington. Man, he's good. He's very good. So. I'd like to see Cincinnati ride that. I mean, man, they started playing and the whole team started playing. Okay, Jacksonville at Cleveland.
Yeah, boy. This is a battle.
Oh, kids hurt.
Yeah, this is a battle of the backup quarterbacks.
Yep.
I'm going to say Cleveland. I'm not so sure Duffy is going to play well enough.
Yeah, I'm taking Cleveland too because their backups played more games. So this guy's getting thrown into the mix, and I'll see what Jacksonville can do if they can step it up. But I don't think so. I got Cleveland. Okay, big game. Philadelphia at Dallas.
I have not liked for a few weeks how Philadelphia's played. I know Dallas gives up a lot of points, but I'm going to pick the Cowboys at number one.
Yep, I think Philly rebounds. I don't know why, because I agree with you. They haven't. There has not been a dominant team this year. So they've all. And did you watch the game last night?
Yes, unfortunately.
Good Lord. At that. Yeah, I mean, neither team belongs in the NFL. It's like, at least their offenses, their defenses are both great. But and why is Mitch Trubisky still in the league?
Why, I mean, a lot of these backup quarterbacks, look, backup quarterbacks, this is what a backup quarterback should be.
Yeah.
A guy that's good enough to somehow let you hang in two games, but then not a long
you got to be able to stretch the field a little bit on that level. I mean, all he did was throw screen passes, you know, and it was like New England knew what he was going to do. I obviously had Pittsburgh last night. So it's just like, you got to be kidding me. You know, Zappy? Come on. Oh, my God. So anyway, I got Philly. Buffalo at Kansas City. Two teams that have underachieved. Yeah, same with me. Yeah, because it's in Kansas City, you just don't know, you know? I mean, you didn't see a problem last year with them not having, I forgot his name, is it with Miami now?
Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, you see it this year.
I think he is the MVP of the league.
Yeah, hey, that guy is great. But now you see it. He's got no deep threat to throw to. As good as Mahomes is, I mean, you can't. Travis Kelce only gets you so far, you know. You got to be able to stretch the field and keep him honest. And he doesn't have that. And their defense is above average, but they're not great.
I mean,
and Buffalo,
complaint.
Who knows?
And that would be my complaint to Brett Peters. He's a terrific gentleman. Like,
yeah.
You cannot use the Aaron Rodgers Green Bay model, thinking your quarterback is good enough to bail you out with any receiver you put out there.
Yeah. It's not. They don't have a lot. They really don't. I mean, and you see the frustration on Mahomes. There's nobody open. You know, and that's today's NFL. It's quarterback driven, but if the wide receivers aren't getting separation, it gets tough. So,
yep.
Minnesota at Las Vegas.
Kevin Kugler is doing the game on Fox. Kevin and I talked about that game Wednesday at Shootaround. I am going to go with Minnesota.
I went with Vegas because somebody brought up a point, a really good point, that Dodds joins a team and he does great.
Right.
And then he starts getting worse.
But again, why is that? He's a backup quarterback, and backup quarterbacks are good enough to get you through a couple of games, and they are not a long-term solution.
Yeah, he's starting to fail. So I'm taking Vegas. Who knows? Because I like Pierce. I don't know.
He's done a good job.
Yeah, he's done a real good job. You know, Denver at the L.A. Chargers.
Oh boy! Every time I turn around this game like this, I'll take the Chargers.
Oh boy, we're going to have separation this week. I got Denver.
There you go.
I like Sean Payton, you know?
Oh, no, it has nothing to do with that.
He's done a good job there. I mean, they lost last week, but the Chargers need a head coach. They need an organization. They are going to waste the talent to that quarterback. They should be way better than they are. So I think they're playing well despite the management. And the final game, Army-Navy.
I'm going to go with Army, only because Jeff Monken, the coach, has been there before, and he gets, I don't know, kind of a weak excuse.
Okay, I took Army, but just to make it cool, I'll take Navy.
There you go.
The game because I really don't, I don't have anything to base a pick on, so I may as well just, I don't know much about either team.
The game went overtime last year. Hey, by the way, very quickly, update everybody. Southern Columbia is down 20-14 in the third quarter in the state championship game. Westinghouse hit a 49-yard touchdown pass, went for two, didn't get it, up 20-14. Last year, of course, Southern Columbia beat Westinghouse in this game. Right now, they'll have to come from behind to win.
Wow. I've been going to Rockville High School games. I step grandson plates for Rockville, they're in the state championship tomorrow. So.
Oh, great! Where's that game going to be played?
Central Connecticut State College.
Yeah, that's great.
But I can't go because I got a stupid family party. I've gone to all his games. I can't go to the championship because we got the stupid party. So. I'll watch the Army-Navy game.
If he's part of your family, how come they aren't going to the game?
I'll repeat, the stupid family party.
Okay.
His name's Hunter. I said, you're in the championship. I guess you're not coming to the party.
Yeah, party's out. You're done.
Oh, let me tell you something. The last two games... last Sunday, it rained here, just downpour.
Right.
So my wife gives me a poncho that leaks. So I'm soaking wet. They played Tuesday, and it was about 0 degrees, and I had a near-death experience. I was so cold I couldn't move. I actually left the game because I said, nah, I'm in trouble here, man. I am so cold, so... It was nighttime, and, man, it was just blowing right through me. Kind of like when me and Uncle Mike and Mom and Dad went to watch Boston College, Doug Flutie, against Penn State.
1983.
Oh, man, was that cold, huh? Uncle Mike's making fun of me. Our Uncle Mike is a Harley guy, and he's making fun of me because Mom gave me mittens and a blanket.
Yeah.
And by the second quarter, he's all cuddled underneath the blanket with me. He said, I'm so cold. I said, yeah, you're my little puppy now. So, we were sitting in the end zone. It was Foxborough Stadium back then. Oh.
Yeah, not Gillette. It was old Foxborough Stadium.
Yeah, and the wind was blowing right in our face. Oh, it was cold. So.
Yeah.
But we got to see Flutie, so it was cool.
And that's the one time Flutie beat Penn State.
So, yeah, he played a great game.
He was
throwing ropes out there.
Yeah, Troy Stratford, they won 27-17, I think.
Yeah.
I was the third announcer back then. So,
that was a long time ago, huh?
That's 40 years ago.
Yeah. I'm signing up for Medicare, man. This is great.
Two-thirds a lifetime ago.
Now we're on Medicare.
Yay. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Okay. Have a good weekend.
You won't see.
His father's going to text me all the scores. So.
Oh, good. All
and don't ask why the father's not at the party.
I'm on a need-to-know basis. I don't need to know.
You don't want to know. It's really crazy.
Today.
Today's show has been brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the holidays now and get those gift cards. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 14, Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Cube.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.